So the wrong goal will lead to parenting methods that will create a weak attachment.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a weak attachment, kids are more resistant and they're less cooperative.
Yep.
And then parents assume, typically in this cycle, parents will assume that the problem is with the kids. So rather than working harder to reestablish their connection, they'll work harder to force, manipulate, and coerce their kids to do what they want.
Mm.
And then you find yourself in an inevitable power struggle.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And I'm really excited about this episode.
It's going to be a good one.
It is. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple things. We're going to talk about why influence is better than force and coercion.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I think influence is ultimately what parents want, but sometimes they don't know how to have that.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, as a parent, how to have your kids' attention, respect, and cooperation, also without force,
mm-hmm.
and without leverage even, which we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about something that developmental psychologists have called the counter will. And for most parents, this shows up in every single kid, especially around 2 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's typically seen as like rebellion,
mm-hmm.
disobedience. But as we're going to find out, it's something that everybody is born with. And ultimately, it serves a really good purpose, and there's mm-hmm. a healthy expression of it, but parents often don't see it that way.
Sure.
I know at times we've not seen it this way.
It can be challenging.
And, yeah. So let's talk about all that.
Yeah.
Okay. First, let me go ahead and bring some definition to what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So counter will is a term that was coined by an Austrian psychologist. His name is Otto Rank in like the late 19th, early 20th century.
Okay.
He basically found that, like I said, everybody is born with this, I'll say this like inherent resistance to force,
mm-hmm.
to coercion.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a parent, you know that your kids have that.
Yep. From way earlier than you expect.
Yeah, you don't have to be a PhD developmental psychologist to know that your kids don't like to be forced
right.
and coerced.
Yep.
Okay, even like, I'm sure everybody listening to this, you don't even like to be forced. Mm-hmm. You don't like to be coerced.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Mm-mm.
But here's the interesting thing. This counter will in us, it can be tempered through like a healthy attachment or connection to another person.
Hmm.
So think, for example, about like any relationship you have with somebody that you're really connected to, that you really love.
Yeah.
Right? Chances are you are way more willing to be cooperative and agreeable in that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's trust there.
Yeah.
There's acceptance there. There's mm-hmm. that mutual like desire to...
Yes.
Like express that love
yep.
that is between
exactly.
you and that person. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So like between us, we don't have to like coerce each other
right.
to do things. I mean, maybe.
Maybe sometimes.
I mean, maybe. Let's say this. There are things that I maybe don't do naturally, but would be more willing to do for you than
yeah.
for anybody else.
Yes, right. Yeah, if I asked you, you would be like, well, okay. But if like some yeah. random person off the street asked you to do like the same thing that's just not
yeah.
something that you enjoy doing, you'd be like, no, right. who even are you?
Yeah. So this thing that's in all of us, it exists by design and it serves a purpose. And here are some of the like the healthy ways that it exists or can be expressed through mm-hmm. us. So first, it shows us as parents that our power doesn't come through our ability to force or like control or coerce or manipulate our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to talk in a little bit too about like what it means to like have power in the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's usually not what people think.
Right. Yeah.
Parents typically think I'll have power in the relationship when I can control my kids, mm-hmm. when I can just get them to do what I want.
Yep.
Then I'll be powerful. Mm-hmm. So it first exists in our kids to prove to us how wrong we are when we think that way. Yeah. Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
If that's how you think, it's good that your kids are resistant to your control and your manipulation. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Secondly, it serves the purpose of preventing kids from being influenced or manipulated by people who are outside of what you could say is their like circle of attachment or connection. Mm-hmm. So in a kid's world, there are people that they feel connected to, they feel that they trust, that they're loved by. And if we're doing our job as parents correctly, then we're those people primarily.
Right. Yes.
And so hopefully, it's us and it's kind of the people around us and that we build sort of a community of people around our kids that they feel safe with, that they trust.
They're comfortable, they're used to them being around, they understand how they function, how they work. And
yeah, it prevents kids from being influenced or manipulated by people outside of that, which is also a good thing. Yeah. So reason number two why I'm glad that this thing exists, this counter will. Thirdly, it helps kids to mature into their identity and it helps them to develop a healthy sense of autonomy. In a relationship between a parent and a child, it's normal for a kid to eventually, like, and we've seen this, but to eventually begin to resist like our help in completing basic tasks.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have a 7-year-old, we have a 4-year-old, and our 11-month-old is, you know, not really there yet.
Right.
But let's talk about Izzy, our 4-year-old, for a minute. Because she is, I mean, she is literally right in the middle of so much. There have been so many things that I've been reading lately. And it's almost as if the author sat down and was like, tell me about your kid. And I like told them, they were like, well, let me tell you why your kid is that way. It's literally, I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
It's wild.
So, and that could be something as simple as like a kid resisting help with putting shoes on, getting dressed. Izzy, every single morning, she wants to help with the eggs.
Yep.
And she wants to prove that she can do it by herself. Mm-hmm. And so those things are the outworking of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And here's another example that we have been dealing with that I have always found so annoying. And I had no idea that the stories that like I'm about to talk about are literally coming straight out of like the literature around developmental psychology for kids
so
around this
wild.
Age. It's hilarious. So I can't think of a specific example, but Izzy's been doing this thing lately where somebody might state a very obvious and basic fact about something.
Like, it's hot outside.
Yes. Or the sky is blue.
Yeah.
Or those flowers are pink. Mm-hmm. And she will become insistent that you're wrong about whatever that is.
No, it's not.
Especially with her older sister. There's a part of me that thinks she probably just knows that it gets under her skin.
Yeah.
And she enjoys that game.
That for
too.
Sure is part of it.
And if anybody's listening, I just want to put you at ease that if your kid's doing this, it's actually a very good sign that they are exploring the realm of a healthy relationship that they have with you. So what's happening is kids around 4 or 5, if they make a claim like that, if you say the sky's blue and they insist that it's not blue, what's happening is, as frustrating as that is, they are exploring what it feels like to have an autonomous thought, even if it comes at the expense of what they know is true.
Sure.
They're starting to learn what it means to think for themselves.
They want to have that original thought.
They become resistant to things. Yes. That's exactly how to put it. They become resistant to thoughts or ideas that didn't originate with them.
Yep. They're like, no, I need to have the idea. This is my idea that the sky was blue, not yours.
Yes.
And we all need to know that.
Or even because she's so insistent that the sky is not blue, she would rather have an original thought that is untrue than to go along with whatever you're trying to tell her is true.
Which is so funny.
It's funny. Yeah. Super annoying.
So annoying. When it's like, no, but it is this way. And they just won't budge.
Yeah.
Kids they want that originality. They want that feeling of, I had this. Like, I am victorious because I had this thought.
Yes.
I'm right.
Yep. Yep. I am allowed to think the thoughts that I have. Yeah. And I'm allowed to. And so it's a healthy and natural expression mm-hmm. of a kid who is learning how to develop independence and autonomy
yeah.
in how they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes me think, talking about this just makes me think of like that feeling of safety. Whenever you feel safe in an environment, you are more likely to explore and to wander yes. and to kind of, you know, so let's see what's over here. Okay. Yes. And well, now I want to kind of go see, and you go a little further. So, but if you're uncomfortable or you don't feel safe in an environment, you're more likely to stay put
mm-hmm.
and just like you know, you're in this spot. Your surroundings may not feel safe, but like you feel okay where you are. And so you're way less likely to explore.
Sure.
So this is kind of like a mental developmental safety area that we're talking about, that like the safer that your kid feels, the more that they are willing to explore,
mm-hmm.
whether it's physically or just how they're speaking, how they're thinking.
Yep.
And so that kind of puts like a picture with
for sure
what we're talking about, that the safer your kid feels with you, the more likely they are to challenge the
yeah
challenge everything that comes out of your mouth, really.
Yep. To resist ideas, to mm-hmm. resist help. And it's so helpful to know that, especially for me, because I have a proclivity to argue back with her and to start building my case as to why this guy is blue.
Let me break it down myself, for you. The atmosphere.
Yes, I literally find myself arguing with a four-year-old. Because there's just something so irritating to me. It's like, I know that you know the sky is blue. You know your colors. You know the sky is blue. Yep. Why won't you just admit it?
That's your counterwill in action.
Yeah.
That's your two counterwills coming to butt heads.
It is. And yeah, and I'm following a trail of thought, and we are eventually going to land on why power struggles happen between parents and kids.
Yep.
And it's because both parents and kids, you're like you said, they both have a counter will.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they just clash. But we'll get there. Okay. That's in essence the counter will. It's good. It's healthy. It's a good thing that our kids have it. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the one thing that will temper a counter will
mm-hmm.
is a healthy attachment.
Mm.
Like we said, the more you love somebody and feel loved by them, the more connected you are to them, the more likely you are to be cooperative.
Yeah.
So when parents focus their energy, their time, when they develop their methods and everything around the goal of mm-hmm. developing just a healthy connection with your kids, what happens is the natural byproduct of that is the parent will end up having their kids' attention.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have their kids' respect, yeah. and they'll have their kids' cooperation.
Right.
And you could talk a few different ways about like what it means to have power in a relationship. Sure. We've talked in the past about how like the most powerful person in the room is the one who can control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that. But at the end of the day, that's what parents want.
Mm-hmm.
They want their kids to listen to them, to respect them, and yeah. to cooperate with them. And when you focus your energy on developing a healthy connection with your kids. And I'll even go so far as to say as if you'll focus your energy on becoming the type of person that your kid wants to be connected to.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Then you'll have those things without the need to apply force, mm-hmm. without coercion.
Yeah.
You'll just have them.
Right. And if your kid, like if your kid knows that you value them enough to give them your time,
mm-hmm.
to give them your attention and affection and like if they know those things, then they are more likely to give you that cooperation.
Yeah.
Because like how often, even as adults, if you can tell that you're not really valued by somebody, you don't really put much effort in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, you don't really, you know, like we always try to treat each other, you mm-hmm. know, as kindly as we can, you know, just because we're trying to live like Jesus. But there is a level of, like, if I know that I'm not valued by you, I'm not going to, like, spend a ton of my time
yeah.
trying to, you know, do all these things invest for you and invest yeah. in this relationship. But if I know that I'm valued by you, then I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to put effort into making sure that you know that I value you as well.
Yes.
And so it's the same with kids. Yeah. That when they feel valued, they want to be with you and they want to make sure that that connection is good on their end as well, because that's what kids' like ultimate desire is just to have connection. And if they don't find it with their parents, they'll find it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's something I think we'll get into in a later episode. I don't want to get too far ahead of us, mm-hmm. but kids are designed to like orient themselves towards someone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as a dad, I want to work at becoming the type of person that my kids want to be oriented towards, mm-hmm. that they want to be influenced by.
Yes.
And if I can become that type of person and I can focus my energy on building a strong connection with them, then like that's the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't know how to say this without sounding, I don't want this to sound like, I don't know, braggy or prideful. I don't mean it that way, because like you and I believe in what we teach.
Yeah.
Like everything that we're talking about in this episode, like we believe in this.
We put it into practice.
We put it into practice.
We put the hard work in.
And we're literally living in the results that I'm mm-hmm. talking about. Like we have our kids' attention. We have their respect. We have their cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find ourselves in like new environments around new people who are getting to know us, who are getting to see us with our kids,
mm-hmm.
we often get complimented on how well-behaved our kids are.
Yeah.
I mean, they listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
They respond so quickly,
yeah.
so well to us. And one of the things I find myself having to explain to people is, and it sounds so backwards, and it's so foreign to so many people, but our kids are well-behaved because we're not focused on the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds...
Like, wait a minute.
Yes.
Yep.
Because it's, as a parent, I understand it's so easy to put all your focus on just having well-behaved kids.
Yeah.
I think that's what parents think they want. Like I said earlier, really what we want is influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want.
Yep.
But if you don't have influence, which is likely the result of a weak connection,
mm-hmm.
the weak connection is likely the result of the wrong goal in parenting. So let's follow this trail of thought. If my goal is to have obedient kids, well-behaved kids, I will have no problem using force, manipulation, yeah. I'll coerce them, I'll do any of that. I'll get angry, I'll mm-hmm. yell, and that may work temporarily. But what's going to happen is my kids are going to start to lose respect for me, and they're going to lose value in my leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to become the person that they naturally want to be like oriented towards.
Right.
And because of that, their counter will is going to kick in gear mm-hmm. because, surprise, surprise, kids don't want to be controlled.
Right. Yeah.
But control is the primary method of a parent whose primary goal is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can like shift things around to where my highest aim isn't to have obedient kids, my mm-hmm. highest aim is to have a really good relationship with my kids, to yes. be well connected with them.
Yeah.
Then what happens is I can ease up. I don't have to be angry. I don't mm-hmm. have to yell. I don't yep. have to do any of that, because the kids naturally give me their attention, their respect, and their cooperation.
Yep.
So that's what you and I have experienced.
Yes.
Like, we're not just teaching this from theory right now. We're actually living in this.
Right. Yeah. So it is possible if you are listening and it's like, this doesn't feel
mm-hmm.
like I can actually apply this. There's no way that this works. This is all the little like, oh,
yep.
we're happy little parents, you know, like
yep.
it's not that. It's a real, genuine practice that works with your kids.
Yeah. And I feel like now I have to say this for anybody listening, because we've talked about this, but sometimes we get pushback from people who assume that when we say that our primary goal and aim is connection mm-hmm. and attachment and relationship, that somehow translates to we are like passive or weak
right.
parents, and we're
kids
not.
Just do whatever they want to do. Yeah,
no,
we are not.
We're very kind, but we're also very firm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not weak, we're not passive, love disciplines. We believe in discipline. We just don't believe that discipline has to look like me being angry and yelling.
Right.
Discipline doesn't have to look like me trying to manipulate and
yeah.
coerce our kids
right.
into compliance.
Yeah, and the trick with like, once you step into just trying to control your kids, that actually shows your kids and anybody who's watching that you have actually stepped into a place where you're out of control.
Yeah.
Of yourself. And you
sure.
lost the ability to control yourself.
Yep.
in that situation, no matter how chaotic it is, mm-hmm. you have completely given up that responsibility. And now you're just trying to take it out on your kid and try to control them because you are unable to control yourself. And that never works.
Yeah. So the wrong goal will lead to parenting methods that will create a weak attachment. Mm-hmm. When there's a weak attachment, kids are more resistant and they're less cooperative.
Yeah.
And then parents assume, typically in this cycle, parents will assume that the problem is with the kids. So rather than working harder to reestablish their connection, they'll work harder to force, manipulate, and coerce their kids to do what they want. Mm. So the parents will double down on force. They'll double down on control. And the kids' counter will kick into gear. And they will double down on their resistance to that force. And then you find yourself in an inevitable power struggle.
Yeah.
It's absolutely inevitable. Mm-hmm. When that cycle kicks in, power struggles cannot be avoided.
Yeah.
And again, parents often think that it's the kid's fault. It's the kid's problem. Well, this inherent resistance to force mm-hmm. is built in.
Right.
It's very reactive. Mm-hmm. It's not a kid, a 6-year-old sitting down, thinking logically through what's going on.
Yeah.
Kids are reactive. Mm-hmm. They are always reacting to the present.
Yep.
So if that's happening, you as the parent, you've got to step back. You've got to reassess your methods. Mm-hmm. You've got to reassess your goals. Because if you find yourself in a lot of power struggles, your kid is resisting you.
Yeah.
And if they're resisting you, I would, just reassess your methods, reassess your approach. Mm-hmm. Is your goal to have obedient kids or is your goal to have kids who want to be connected to you?
Yeah.
And that subtle shift makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have one more thought or trail of thoughts, probably.
Sure.
Let's be honest. So as a parent, we'll just keep repeating and reiterating some of these things. As a parent, what I want is to have the kind of power in the relationship. And again, when I say power, I do not at all mean the ability to force, the mm-hmm. ability to coerce.
Yeah.
That's not real power. Like you said, that means you're out of control. Mm-hmm. And if you're out of control, your kids are probably the ones who are in control of you.
Right.
Because their actions are producing your emotions. Anyways, as a parent, I want true power in that I want to have a kind of relationship with them where I have their attention, their respect, and their cooperation. Mm-hmm. Now, when you are in a situation where you have something that you need to do and you don't have the power to do it, you end up applying leverage, right? Mm, so let's say there's a giant boulder in the backyard and for whatever reason it's there and we need to move it mm-hmm. and it's too big, we're not strong enough to just push it, so we have to apply leverage, mm-hmm. right? So we have to find ways to get a little bit of extra power from somewhere else to help move this mm-hmm. rock. Okay. A very similar thing happens to parents when they find themselves in a situation with their kids where something needs to be shifted or redirected.
Yeah.
If you as a parent don't feel like you have the adequate power, maybe I could say like influence to do that, mm-hmm. you'll start applying leverage. You'll start using briberies.
Right.
Now, briberies come in the form of rewards and punishments. Now, I used to hear people talk about this, how like rewards don't work in the same way that punishments don't work.
Yeah.
And I was always kind of confused by that. I don't know. Like, I feel like just in life in general, just thinking of like me as an adult, like I like to be rewarded for.
Yeah, I like getting treats.
I like somebody to give me something for doing a good job.
Don't take my treats away.
Yeah. But I found this very fascinating. So there are a few studies that have been done, and you don't have to be a psychologist. You don't have to be a doctor to know that what I'm about to say is true. You just have to be a parent, have kids, and pay attention, mm-hmm. and you'll find that this is true. But the problem with bribery, like rewards, and obviously punishments, if you've listened to any of our podcasts, hopefully you know at this point that punishment is like... It just doesn't, it's not good. But rewards work the same way in that you can temporarily get a kid to comply, but the more a behavior exists as the product of coercion, even if it's a positive reward, the more a behavior exists as a product of coercion, the less likely that behavior is to exist intrinsically or voluntarily.
Yeah, that's so true.
And now even just think about, like, and I think another example with our kids. Our kids overall, like, we don't have fights around, like, food. Mm-mm. Izzy is going through, like, a really picky time.
Yeah.
But we're not having power struggles around
them. Right. And that's actually a super normal thing at her
age. Super
normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost all kids go through some kind of picky phase, and it's, we could do a whole episode on that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've not made it a huge deal. And honestly, sometimes we have told the kids, it's probably become more normal now that I think about it, that, like, if you eat your dinner, like, you can have, or if you want, like, a cookie or something afterward,
yeah,
you can have one if you eat your dinner.
Yeah.
But one thing we've never done is we've never told our kids, you have to eat.
Right.
Because, like, our thing is, if you don't eat, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You'll go to bed hungry, but that's not my problem.
Right.
So if that's something you want to figure out.
If that's your choice.
Yeah. If you want to go to bed hungry, I'm not going to stop you.
And I do feel like the cookie thing, or like, we're like, treat after dinner, it's not even necessarily been viewed as like a reward. It's like,
yes,
if you eat your dinner, then I'll give you an ice cream cone.
Yes.
It's just like, hey, when we eat our dinner, like, then treats are on the table. It's not like, in my brain, I don't think we've ever phrased it in a way of like a reward.
Yeah. So, yeah, because the more I'm like understanding this, the more I'm realizing, like, bribing kids to do what you want them to do will work temporarily. Mm-hmm. You may be able to get them to do it, but that behavior that you're trying to coerce from them is not going to, like, intrinsically become a part of their personality.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because they didn't come about it naturally.
Yes.
It was forced and coerced, like you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you have that whole counter will business where kids are going to be more resistant to that.
Mm-hmm.
So with food, with dinner time, because I know for a lot of families, dinner time is a time of tension. It's a time of fighting and just wanting your kids to just eat the food and
just sit down and eat.
Yeah. But we have found that when you don't force your kids to eat, don't bribe them to eat. Again, like, I think it's worked well for us. Like you said, that we will say, when you eat your dinner, you can have a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you get the cookie, I literally don't even care.
Right.
I don't care if you have a cookie or not.
Yep.
If you want it, you know how to get it.
Yep.
If you don't want to eat your dinner and you want to go to bed hungry with no cookie, that's also not my problem.
Yeah.
It's totally within your, you know,
yep.
It's your prerogative if that's what, you know, what you want to do. But yeah, I just found all that super interesting.
Yeah, that is fascinating. That
the more you try to coerce your kids to do what you want them to do, the less likely you are to see that behavior come about voluntarily or spontaneously.
And mm-hmm.
Rewards work as long as there's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sounds, dumb, but... Yep. Like, if you have to bribe your kid to do something from here on out, the only way your kid's going to do that is if
when you there have an offer on the other end.
Yes, if there's more promised rewards. Yep. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to say in this episode is that parenting tactics and methods that are centered around trying to have obedient kids and trying to coerce their behavior to get them to do what you want them to do is going to backfire.
Mm-hmm.
And a better goal and a better aim to have as a parent is to pursue healthy connection with them, attachment with them, and to continue working on becoming the type of person that your kids want to be around and want to be led by.
Yes.
Hopefully we've been clear on this, but having kids who are cooperative and who listen and respond, that's a great thing to have.
Yeah.
It's much better. It's way more fun. It's way more enjoyable when you let that be the natural byproduct of your relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be.
Yeah.
Absolutely will be. Like, this is just how kids are designed.
Mm-hmm.
This is how relationships work.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep figuring out as these kids keep getting older. So we don't even have like middle schoolers yet. We don't have teenagers yet. And I know that every new stage comes with different challenges.
Yeah.
Especially because our kids are going to like develop differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to need different things from us at different times.
Right. Our parenting grows with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I love about all of this is I know that the goal doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got this goal of connection and forming healthy attachments with your kids, that goal doesn't change.
Right.
And I think we'll always be presented with new obstacles, mm-hmm. new challenges and difficulties. But yeah, I think if you have the right goal in place, I think we'll be set up for success in every season.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have a few favors to ask for everybody listening. First, if you're listening on any audio platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review, that's a really small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could do us a favor, like this video and subscribe, that's also a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But that's going to be it for this episode.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.